paved paradise, put up a parking lot. Joni Mitchell came out with that song in 1970. 1970! Say it isn't so. But 2009 might be the year we take thousands of parking lots down and put up little bits of paradise. Maybe. This weekend, 1,100 auto dealership owners across the country took in the sobering news their contracts with GM are going away. And after they deal with the horrible reality of losing their employees and their livelihood, they'll also have to deal with what to do with their land. Many of these dealerships are owned by family businesses in cities or just beyond the city limits in the suburbs. So what can they do with that land? Ellen Dunham-Jones is director of the architecture program at Georgia Tech and co-author of Retrofitting Suburbia, Urban Design Solutions for Redesigning Suburbs. She joins us from the studios of Georgia Public Radio in Atlanta. Good morning.
Good morning.
So, Ellen Dunham-Jones, when I think of a car dealership, I think of a big old parking lot on a strip mall at the edge of town. As an urban planner, do you have an image in your head of how much asphalt we're talking about when we say 1,900 dealerships are on the chopping block right now, and we might see 3,600 closures by the time the auto restructuring is over?
We're talking about a lot of asphalt, that's for sure. The car dealerships actually range in size considerably. A lot of the older, smaller dealerships are about 3 to 4 acres, just about the size of a typical Manhattan, New York City block. So that gives you some perspective of what could be built there. Many of the suburban dealerships are, the somewhat newer ones, are more like 7 to 10 acres and could easily be redeveloped into about 3 or more blocks. And larger auto malls often are up to 15, 25 acres, large enough for us to build an entire new mixed-use neighborhood.
Auto malls must be what I have in mind. Now, are they in ideal locations for mixed-use neighborhoods? I mean, they seem to be sort of out on the fringe of things, and that seems to be the kind of development that we're all supposed to be moving away from.
Well, they're actually located in a variety of places. And in fact, a lot of the older car dealerships already have been, over the last 10 years or so, have been reaching the point where they're in a relatively central location. They were built out at the edge, but development has leapfrogged them so many times
now.
Not
the edge anymore.
Exactly. And so they're getting redeveloped. There's been a trend to sort of redevelop them and recognize that the land is now a lot more. It's worth building the parking garages and building up in greater density on these sites.
Well, it's interesting because last week they were saying that the rural dealers were maybe the stronger ones, and that the ones closer into the cities were the ones that were likely to be saddled for closure. So maybe that does actually help the trend that you're talking about.
Exactly. I mean, I think it's always sad to see a business go under, but these closures really do present, I think, great opportunities for much more sustainable, less auto-oriented redevelopment.
Are you optimistic that that kind of discussion could happen? I mean, you know, in Atlanta, where you are, it seems that given a choice, that the choice seems to be not in the direction that you're advocating.
We certainly, Atlanta has that reputation, but in fact, we actually
do. Is it ill-deserved?
Yeah, we've been chopping down about 54 acres of trees a day out at the edges for much of the last decade.
Wow.
But we've also, there has been a real move to move closer into town, and the demographics are significantly changing, and people wanting to be in closer in locations, and redevelopments, whether it's car dealerships or other parking lot-oriented sites like dead malls, dead shopping centers, office parks. There's a lot of redevelopment going on here, more than you might think.
So what do you envision? I mean, for real, what do you see going into these dealerships in communities across America?
One really great example is adjacent to the Dadeland Mall in Kendall, Florida, about 9 miles outside of Miami. There was a 7.5-acre Cadillac dealership that was located within a, you know, just big sprawling area. But the whole area, recently transit arrived, and that triggered rezoning, and it has been redeveloped so that now that 7.5-acre parcel has 415 housing units and 8-story buildings with retail at the ground floor and pedestrian-friendly urban walkable blocks. It's both a symbolic victory of sort of walkable urbanism and transit-oriented urbanism over car culture, but it's also part of this larger movement that we document in our book, that June Williamson and I document in our book on retrofits.
So, I mean, given what's going on in the country now, the economics, the limited financing for housing, do you really see housing developments and transit springing up in these, auto malls across the country?
Not in the short term. Certainly, until the credit crunch eases, there's not going to be a lot of that kind of ambitious redevelopment. I think in the short term, we're certainly going to see some adaptive reuse and re-inhabitation possibilities. We found many examples of other kinds of big box stores, not so different architecturally from an auto showroom, being adaptively reused into much more community-serving uses, such as libraries, schools, even churches. There's a car dealership in Washington, D.C. that was converted into an indoor dog park, and one in New Jersey that took advantage of the high bay repair areas to put in an Olympic-sized swimming pool and become a health club.
So what is the process?
There's a lot of interesting proposals out there as well.
If somebody is, if a dealership is closing down, I mean, does that auto dealer get to have control in the process, or does the community, or if somebody, has made a suggestion today and they want to see their auto park turn into a water park or, a composting heap or a community garden, what would they do?
Well, certainly these are private properties, and it is largely up to the owners how they want to handle their property. But it is also controlled largely by zoning. And what we're seeing in many communities is that whether it's retail sites or commercial sites, various kinds of commercial sites that are becoming more and more vacant, now is the time for communities to decide what do they really want to see happening on those sites and to change their zoning if they would prefer to see a mix of uses and higher densities.
What's your level of optimism that this is going to happen in the way that you hope it does?
I am actually quite optimistic. I think given the new administration...
We need to go. On that note, you're optimistic. We need to go. Ellen Dunham-Jones, director of the architecture program at the Georgia Institute of Technology and co-author of Retrofitting Suburbia, Urban Design Solutions for Redesigning Suburbs. Thanks very much.
And we're talking about what to do with those playgrounds. If you give us anything, give us any ideas, maybe we'll put them into the hopper. 877-8-MY-TAKE or mytake@thetakeaway.org. New uses for car dealership land? That's a good idea. Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE. I'm John Hockenberry.
I'm Andrea Bernstein.
This is The Takeaway.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.